We the People Are the New Permanent Underclass in America by John and Nisha Whitehead at the Rutherford Institute. Read by Samuel May. Quote, we are now speeding down the road of wasteful spending and debt, and unless we can escape, we will be smashed in inflation. End quote. Herbert Hoover. This is financial tyranny. The U.S. government, and that includes the current administration, is spending money it doesn't have on programs it can't afford, and we, the taxpayers, are the ones who must foot the bill for the government's fiscal insanity. We've been sold a bill of goods by politicians promising to pay down the national debt, jumpstart the economy, rebuild our infrastructure, secure our borders, ensure our security, and make us all healthy, wealthy, and happy. None of that has come to pass. And yet we're still being loaded down with debt, not of our own making. Let's talk numbers, shall we? The national debt, the amount the federal government has borrowed over the years and must pay back, is $30 trillion and growing. That translates to roughly $242,000 per taxpayer. Now, the Biden administration is proposing a $5.8 trillion spending budget that notably includes $813 billion for national defense, $30 billion to fund the police, and a plan to reduce the national deficit by roughly $1 trillion over 10 years through additional tax hikes. It's estimated that the amount this country owes is now 130% greater than its gross domestic product, all the products and services produced in one year by labor and property supplied by the citizens. The US ranks as the 12th most indebted nation in the world, with much of that debt owed to the Federal Reserve, large investment funds, and foreign governments, namely Japan and China. Essentially, the US government is funding its very existence with a credit card. In 2021, we paid more than $562 billion in interest on that public debt, which, according to journalist Rob Garver, quote, is more than the annual budget of every individual federal agency except for the Treasury, the Department of Health and Human Services, which manages the Medicare and Medicaid government health insurance programs, and the Department of Defense. End quote. According to the Committee for a Reasonable Federal Budget, the interest we've paid on this borrowed money is, quote, nearly twice what the federal government will spend on transportation infrastructure, over four times as much as it will spend on K-12 education, almost four times what it will spend on housing, and over eight times what it will spend on science, space, and technology. End quote. Clearly, the national debt isn't going away anytime soon, especially not with government spending on the rise and interest payments making up such a large chunk of the budget. Still, the government remains unrepentant, unfazed, and undeterred in its wanton spending. Indeed, the national deficit, the difference between what the government spends and the revenue it takes in, remains at more than $1.5 trillion. If Americans managed their personal finances the way the government mismanages the nation's finances, we'd all be in debtor's prison by now. Despite the government propaganda being peddled by the politicians and news media, however, the government isn't spending our tax dollars to make our lives better. We're being robbed blind, so the governmental elite can get richer. We're not living the American dream. We're living a financial nightmare. In the eyes of the government, quote, we the people, the voters, the consumers and the taxpayers, unquote, are little more than pocketbooks waiting to be picked. We the people have become the new permanent underclass in America. Consider. The government can seize your home and your car, which you've bought and paid for, over non-payment of taxes. Government agents can freeze and seize your bank accounts and other valuables if they merely suspect wrongdoing. And the IRS insists on getting the first cut of your salary to pay for government programs over which you have no say. We have no real say in how the government runs or how our taxpayer funds are used, but we're being forced to pay through the nose anyhow. We have no real say, but that doesn't prevent the government from fleecing us at every turn and forcing us to pay for endless wars that do more to fund the military-industrial complex than protect us, pork barrel projects that produce little to nothing, and a police state that serves only to imprison us within its walls. If you have no choice, no voice, and no real options when it comes to the government's claim on your property and your money, you're not free. It wasn't always this way, of course. Early Americans went to war over the inalienable rights described by philosopher John Locke as the natural rights of life, liberty, and property. It didn't take long, however, 100 years in fact, before the American government was laying claim to the citizenry's property by levying taxes to pay for the Civil War. As the New York Times reports, quote, "Widespread resistance led to its repeal in 1872, end quote. Determined to claim some of the citizenry's wealth for its own uses, the government reinstituted the income tax in 1894. Charles Pollock challenged the tax as unconstitutional. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled in his favor. Pollock's victory was relatively short-lived. Members of Congress, united in their determination to tax the American people's income, worked together to adopt a constitutional amendment to overrule the Pollock decision. On the eve of World War I, in 1913, Congress instituted a permanent income tax by way of the 16th Amendment to the Constitution and the Revenue Act of 1913. Under the Revenue Act, individuals with income exceeding $3,000 could be taxed, starting at 1% up to 7% for incomes exceeding $500,000. It's all gone downhill from there. Unsurprisingly, the government has used its tax powers to advance its own imperialistic agendas, and the courts have repeatedly upheld the government's power to penalize or jail those who refused to pay their taxes. While we're struggling to get by and making tough decisions about how to spend what little money actually makes it into our pockets after the federal, state, and local governments take their share, this doesn't include the stealth taxes imposed through tolls, fines, and other fiscal penalties, the government continues to do whatever it likes. Levy taxes, rack up debt, spend outrageously and irresponsibly, with little thought for the plight of its citizens. To top it all off, all of those wars the US is so eager to fight abroad are being waged with borrowed funds. The Atlantic reports, quote, "US leaders are essentially bankrolling the wars with debt, in the form of purchases of US Treasury bonds by US-based entities like pension funds and state and local governments, and by countries like China and Japan," end quote. Of course, we're the ones who will have to repay that borrowed debt. For instance, American taxpayers have been forced to shell out more than $5.6 trillion since 9/11 for the military-industrial complex's costly, endless so-called war on terrorism. That translates to roughly $23,000 per taxpayer to wage wars abroad, occupy foreign countries, provide financial aid to foreign allies, and fill the pockets of defense contractors and grease the hands of corrupt foreign dignitaries. Mind you, that staggering $6 trillion is only a portion of what the Pentagon spends on America's military empire. The United States also spends more on foreign aid than any other nation, with nearly $300 billion dispersed over a five-year period. More than 150 countries around the world receive U.S. taxpayer-funded assistance, with most of the funds going to the Middle East, Africa, and Asia. That price tag keeps growing, too. As Forbes reports, quote, "U.S. foreign aid dwarfs the federal funds spent by 48 out of 50 state governments annually. Only the state governments of California and New York spent more federal funds than what the U.S. sent abroad each year to foreign countries. End quote. Most recently, in response to Russia's military aggression against Ukraine, the Biden administration approved $13.6 billion in military and humanitarian aid for Ukraine, with an additional $200 million for immediate military assistance. As Dwight D. Eisenhower warned in a 1953 speech, this is how the military-industrial complex will continue to get richer, while the American taxpayer will be forced to pay for programs that do little to enhance our lives, ensure our happiness and well-being, or secure our freedoms. This is no way of life. Yet it's not just the government's endless wars that are bleeding us dry. We're also being forced to shell out money for surveillance systems to track our movements, money to further militarize our already militarized police, money to allow the government to raid our homes and bank accounts, money to fund schools where our kids learn nothing about freedom and everything about how to comply, and on and on. It's tempting to say that there's little we can do about it, except that's not quite accurate. There are a few things we can do. Demand transparency, reject cronyism and graft, insist on fair pricing and honest accounting methods, call a halt to incentive-driven government programs that prioritize profits over people. But it will require that we, the people, stop playing politics and stand united against the politicians and corporate interests who have turned our government and economy into a pay-to-play exercise in fascism. Unfortunately, we've become so invested in identity politics that pit us against one another and keep us powerless and divided that we've lost sight of the one label that unites us. We're all Americans. Trust me, we're all in the same boat, folks, and there's only one real life preserver. That's the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. The Constitution starts with those three powerful words: we, the people. There is power in our numbers. As I make clear in my book Battlefield America, The War on the American People, and in its fictional counterpart, The Eric Blair Diaries, that remains our greatest strength in the face of a governmental elite that continues to ride roughshod over the populace. It remains our greatest defense against a government that has claimed for itself unlimited power over the purse, taxpayer funds, and the sword, military might. Where we lose out is when we fall for the big-talking politicians who spend big at our expense.